with new developments with Occupy Buffalo, there's been a faction that has now, I don't know if they've actually split apart or if they've extended the Occupy situation, but Occupy Western New York is now in Lafayette Square. What do we know about that?
Well, they were. They attempted to sort of diversify the Occupy movement by moving to Lafayette Square, but police cleared them out pretty quickly. It seems so typically Buffalonian, doesn't it, that our local Occupy's first wounds should be self-inflicted. There's something so Western New York about that. Occupy Buffalo has enjoyed, I think, a pretty good level of cooperation with city officials, with law enforcement. Like all movements, and particularly progressive movements, there are schisms within it. And there was a point of rupture over a contract that the Occupy movement signed with the city, which laid out some terms under which the city would allow them to continue to occupy Niagara Square. In many ways, that contract just sort of codified what is already codified, city statutes, under which we all must obey, but which the city has been sort of lenient in enforcing with Occupy Buffalo, various statutes about camping and heating devices and things like that. Some occupiers objected to the signing of that contract, to certain provisions in the contract. I was at a meeting about a week and a half ago in which their objections were discussed. A small group discussed their objections and laid out this plan to move to Lafayette Square in protest to this contract, which also includes Lafayette Square as a sort of fallback site for the main Occupy movement should a big snowstorm come and the city have to like dump snow into Niagara Square, thus making it sort of difficult and unsafe. So they decided that they would break off and set up a new camp in Lafayette Square. And they said, you guys continue to do what you want down here. If you want to live with that contract, we want to move up to Lafayette Square where we will be free of that contract. And we'll be waiting for you there when the city kicks you out of Niagara Square. There's some faulty logic there. In fact, even in Lafayette Square, they labor under the same statutes, city statutes, as were laid out in the contract. In any case, the city was having none of this, and the police very quickly cleared out the handful of occupiers who had moved to Lafayette Square. As a result, the people who had stayed in Niagara Square, a core of them said, you know what? You're causing us trouble. You're no longer part of our Occupy movement. So here, there's this little schism that has developed, and it'll be interesting to see how it is healed. It seems as if the city and the main Occupy movement in Niagara Square, they continue to be talking and working out the details on how this movement can continue to make itself known and keep its camp stable. But within the movement now, there are these little sort of fissures opening up.
Now, was the ideology basically the same with the group that considered themselves Occupy Western New York?
Sure. Essentially, it's the same. They're exactly the same. It's really just sort of quibbles over strategy and perhaps very likely some personal issues intermingled as well. These people have been camping together for a couple of months now in sort of unusual conditions and talking at very high levels about political philosophy. And, you know, you can imagine that after a while you really get exhausted with one another. So I'm sure there were some personal issues as well. But the real point, though, is I think Occupy Niagara Square seems to be strong and unified. And they share the same ideals as those people who moved two blocks up the street and tried to set up tents in Lafayette Square. I don't think this is going to cause any serious damage to the local Occupy movement, except in a very sort of interpersonal way.
Curious that the Occupy Western New York movement, that faction that did go to Lafayette Square, result of that is a bubbling up of some dissension about the movement from the chairperson of the ownership group for the HSBC, as well as the executives at Buffalo Place, expressing their concerns and their dislike of the Occupy in Lafayette Square. Is this a voice that has been sort of under the radar about the Occupy movement as a whole?
Oh, possibly, yeah, I think so. But to keep it on a very local level, you know, I think nothing better could have happened for the occupiers than Carl Palladino agreeing with his fellow landlords downtown, saying, yes, Mayor Brown should be clearing these people out. There's no love lost between Carl Palladino and Mayor Byron Brown. So that is as good a guarantee, I think, as the occupiers will get that their camp will continue to be accommodated because Carl says it should go.
It is the end of the year, and I'm curious as to, as we reflect back on 2011, in your mind, what were the big stories of the year. What will 2011 be remembered for?
Well, the biggest story is probably the most recent one, which is Chris Collins' loss in the county executive race. I think that a year ago, very few people would have predicted that. Mark Poloncarz was predicting it back then, but no one believed him that he could do it, that he could take on such a well-financed incumbent. And in fact, many people were talking about Chris Collins as a gubernatorial candidate down the road or a congressional candidate. He was nationally, I think, recognized as a promising conservative who could self-finance, who could tap into the Tea Party movement, and who was building a record in Erie County which would really appeal to a right-wing base. But he lost. And the circumstances that combined to make Poloncarz' victory possible, I think, are really interesting, and I think people will be paying attention to them nationally. What's really interesting is the way the political operatives in the local labor movement worked with progressive agencies throughout the county, especially in the city, but throughout the county, to sort of create the conversation even before there was a particular Democratic candidate, before we knew that it was going to be Poloncarz versus Kathy Hochul. They wanted to sort of lay out the terms of the debate, to sort of say, you know, here's what's wrong with the way Chris Collins is governing Erie County, and here's why it matters to you, the working class. Here's why it matters to our community as a whole. They wanted to sort of lay out a position that was not specifically about labor issues. It also sort of coalesced the issues that other progressive agencies are addressing, whether it has to do with building sustainable economies, about housing, what have you, economic justice issues. And sort of weave it all together into one conversation so that when a Democratic candidate did come forward, they could say, look, here's this position that we've created that stands in diametric opposition to what Chris Collins is. Take up this position. Take up our message. And you'll have all of us behind you. It's a very different way of engaging political campaigns than labor has done before. Before, it's always been sort of money and bodies, and sort of getting out the vote among their own, the members of their particular unions. This was much different, and I think it was very successful. And I would not be surprised if in the new year we see this particular approach being mirrored in other cities, other regions, and even nationally during the presidential campaign.
What other stories really sort of rang a bell for you?
You know, I think it was really interesting how successful this summer Canal Side was. I think there was a lot of activity down there, despite the fact that there's really nothing there besides, you know, there's some ways to entertain yourself by the water. There's some boats. There's, you know, the things like that. You can get on that beautiful sailboat. You can rent a kayak or a canoe, and you can get a cheeseburger, and you can look at the lake. And that seems to have been enough to bring thousands and thousands of people down. Concerts turned out to be a great venue for concerts. And all of this despite lack of some national big box anchor tenant. I think it'll be interesting to see how the Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation reacts to that, how it changes their plans in terms of developing our waterfront.
What do you foresee for next year, for 2012?
For 2012, my gosh, isn't the world supposed to end?
Well, thank you again for your time, and I wish you and yours the very best for the holidays.
My pleasure, and to you.
Thank you.